I know you're out there. I know that you're afraid. You're afraid of us. You're afraid of change. I don't know the future. I didn't come here to tell you how this is going to end. I came here to tell you how it's going to begin. I'm going to hang up this phone, and then I'm going to show these people what you don't want them to see. A world without rules and controls, without borders or boundaries. A world where anything is possible. Where we go from there is a choice I leave to you.
Connecting the dots of the Constitution for you like no one else can. The Chris Ann Hall Show. American woman, listen what I say. She's an attorney, a disabled U.S. Army veteran, an author, public speaker, mother, pastor's wife, and a patriot. She's Chris Ann Hall.
Rise and shine, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal, your daily dose of fact, not fake, delivering you principled news, not party politics. We are here. I am Chris Ann Hall at chrisannhall.com, K-R-I-S-A-N-N-E-H-A-L-L.com. And I am with my husband and co-host, J.C. Hall. And we are always liberty over security, principle over party, and truth over your favorite personality, which sometimes puts us on the receiving end of some of the ire of those in power and of those who love those in power. We covered a show, we covered on the show yesterday the fact that the West Virginia legislature was going to be impeaching the Supreme Court of West Virginia, and they actually did that.
Now they have.
They have. They have impeached all four justices that were remaining. There were five justices, but one of them resigned. Okay, so all four justices of the Virginia Supreme Court were impeached yesterday after state lawmakers voted against them based on allegations of improper spending. These justices were Alan Lowry, Beth Walker, Robin Davis, and Chief Justice Margaret Workman. And they were all accused of using state money for personal use. And we covered this story because we here at chrisannhall.com and at the Chris Ann Hall Show have covered quite often the fact that our judiciary is completely out of control and feels itself to be above check and balance. We actually have a YouTube video that explains why and how justices ought to be questioned.
Right.
And so I want to direct it. You know, we should probably put
it's
that.
It's a mindset you call judicial supremacy.
Right, right. So, and it's been prevalent, by the way, since the 1830s. When our learning institutions put down the true treatise of the Constitution written by St. George Tucker, those of you who are longtime listeners know this, and picked up a judicial federal supremacist writer on the Constitution called Joseph Story. And I want to give you the quote that I have here of one of the delegates for the Constitutional Convention. And remember, constitutionally speaking, our justices there are there for a term of good behavior. They don't have lifetime appointments. But this quote sums up what has happened in America from smallest of state or county courts all the way up to the Supreme Court of the United States. He says, under the idea of rendering the judges independent, this is the pseudonym Brutus, number 15, under the idea of rendering judges independent, they have made the judges independent in the fullest sense of the word. There is no power above them to control any of their decisions, their authority that can remove them, and they cannot be controlled by the laws of the legislature. In short, they are independent of the people, of the legislature, and of every power in heaven. Men placed in this situation will generally soon feel themselves to be independent of heaven themselves. And this case in West Virginia gives us a really great teaching moment, doesn't it?
Yeah, because this judicial supremacy, it's not just sort of a legal approach, you know, where that the lawyers appeal to the court for every final answer, and they have the final answer, like Supreme Court. Oh, they determine everything, ends up turning them.
They
into,
are not the final arbiters.
Into kings, or, yeah, but it's are, also. It's become sort of a culture, a mindset, the national psyche of America, takes this judicial supremacy mindset where we just assume, we go along. Judges can't be questioned. Judges are the end all be all of everything.
Well, and it has saturated our community, like you said, in our psyche so much that it's actually the ideology that is embraced by Americans. We don't question them. We don't think that they should be questioned so much that we have judicial candidates saying before Senate committee hearings that judges ought not to be questioned.
Yeah. So that's that idea of sacrosanct. The whole judicial system and the judges and justices in it are sacrosanct. They're just too high to question.
Now, I want to remind everybody, like I said, at our Liberty First University YouTube channel, we have a video called Federal Judges Must Be Questioned, Liberty Matters. And I'll be putting a link on the show page for this, and we'll post it on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn as well. And I want you guys to be able to watch this video because it will help us end this idea of judicial supremacy. And so what we have
what's funny about that video, I think Gorsuch is there, right? Gorsuch
yes,
is quoted
Gorsuch
by
is.
Saying that. And I've said these Senate hearings are worthless overall. Mm-hmm. In hindsight, looking at really what a great justice he is and what a great justice he's been on the Supreme Court for the most part.
Mm-hmm. So far.
I think once again, we have a candidate. A nominee standing there telling the Senate committee what they want to hear. It almost strikes me that he was appealing to what he recognized as a culture of judicial supremacy, and he just fed that to them to get through that nomination. But that is a completely, totally wrong opinion, it pictures, it encapsulates that philosophy of judicial supremacy perfectly.
Right.
That
you
can't question them.
Right. So Gorsuch in that video that we made is actually saying we cannot question judges, that it's demoralizing. And the senator, even involved in this discussion, even alludes the fact that they believe it's against the law to question
a
judge.
You're committing a crime if you question,
A judge. But what we have here is one of these justices in West Virginia is going to retire now that she's been impeached. I'm not quite sure how that works, but this is the one that is Robin Davis. And according to an article on a website called lawandcrime.com, she makes a very disturbing statement, but not surprising based on the judicial supremacist view that has completely taken over America.
It's a perfect illustration of the mindset.
She says, "What we are witnessing is a disaster for the rule of law, the foundation of our state, and indeed for our own society. For when a legislative body attempts to dismantle a separate branch of government, the immediate effects, as well as the precedent it sets for the future, can only be deemed disastrous."
It's funny what you have to read into this that she's not saying.
Right.
Right? Because it set.
So knowing that they impeached the judges, and this is her response to the impeachment of judges.
Yeah, when she says sets for the future, the precedent sets for the future can only be deemed disastrous. That's the future of judicial supremacy. Her future.
Well, but she also equates judges with
the rule of law.
She says it's a disaster for the rule of law for judges to be impeached,
right.
Which means if you're impeaching a judge, you're impeaching the rule of law.
Yeah,
but
because
it's not the case.
Because you have to understand, this action is actually supporting the rule of law. It's enforcing the rule of law.
Absolutely.
A corrupt court is impeached by the representatives of the people, the legislative body who has oversight
right.
and authority to impeach them. And she's saying when this happens, it threatens the rule of law. The only one threatened is the corrupt judges. Therefore, she's saying we judges are the rule of law.
Yeah, and what's amazing is this West Virginia Supreme Court justice seems to be ignorant of her own constitution.
Right.
Because how long did it take me to find the West Virginia Constitution on the internet?
By the time we got through everything, about a minute and a half.
Maybe that much.
That was not finding it. You found it in seconds. And then
right.
we found the relevant parts and read through it,
yes.
all of it.
In a minute and a half, right?
90 seconds.
So Article 8 of the West Virginia Constitution establishes judicial power. And what she seems to allude to is that it's destructive of the rule of law for the legislature to be controlling over justices.
Yeah, to be able to impeach them.
To be able to impeach them.
Under conditions of misconduct.
Right. Well, the judicial power is established in the Supreme Court by the Constitution of West Virginia in Article 8. And the lower courts are established by whom?
Legislature.
The legislature. Not only that, it also goes on to say that the justices of the courts can be removed from office based on criminal conduct, right? So that is several sections of the West Virginia Constitution. But not only that, when you go to this is Section 4, Clause 5, Section 4, Article 4.
Clause 9.
Clause 9, which is the impeachment of officials. Any officer of the state may be impeached, and then it gives a list of impeachments. And then it says the House of Delegates shall have the sole power of impeachment. The Senate shall have the sole power to try impeachments. And so what we have now in Article 4, Section 9 is a mirror of the U.S. Constitution on this principle. And we know that the Supreme Court justices being constitutionally established are officers of the state.
Yeah.
So she is contesting the fact that as a justice, she should be impeached by the untouchable, that she should be that the legislature should have no control over her. But the very document that creates her job also establishes that the legislature is the check and balance over her.
So this mirrors the federal level. They don't know the Constitution, and they don't want you to know.
Welcome back to the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. I am Chris Ann Hall, and we have with me my husband and co-host, J.C. Hall. And we're doing a sort of follow-up story on what we covered yesterday, the West Virginia Supreme Court justices having actually been impeached, the entire court.
They cleared the bench.
They cleared the bench because of every single one of them using the public dollars for personal use.
They apparently gave the judges, they raised the judicial salaries.
Yes.
Above what was even authorized by law.
Right.
Kind of like how Congress gives themselves raises.
Yeah. So what has happened now is the House has...
In the midst of a recession,
so the House, by the way. Yeah. So the House has impeached these justices. One of them retired already. Resigned.
A couple retired. They went scurrying.
Before the impeachment,
yeah.
One of them already resigned, and the four that were impeached will now go before the Senate of West Virginia for conviction on that impeachment. So in between the impeachment and the trial by Senate, we have a justice who has resigned or retired.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder I wonder if that means that she won't be going before the Senate because she's retired, which, you know, I'm not for a person that if you run, you're guilty, right? But in this case,
well, it's we see this often in public offices. They get caught for something that you and I would go to jail for.
Right.
And their punishment is you have to retire.
Right.
We're going to punish you with, you know, several hundred thousand dollars a year in retirement.
Like Eric Holder.
It's just ridiculous.
So
just another picture of that untouchable nature of these folks. They have an out that the average person doesn't have.
Well, not only that, we have this permeating ideology that justices have lifetime appointments, especially at the Supreme Court level, even on the state Supreme Court level, that they have lifetime, but they don't have lifetime appointments. They're not there until they die. And as persons that are created by the Constitution, like our federal judiciary under Article 3 of the Constitution, they are ruled by the Constitution. See, that's the idea. By establishing that these justices erroneously are the ultimate arbiter of the Constitution, we have allowed them to assert their own supremacy over the Constitution itself.
Well, you see how she speaks with such authority. And this sounds good. It sounds right. You know what I mean? Just sort of on the surface of it, the rule of law, one branch of government, eliminate another branch of government. And they speak this sort of propaganda, really, and where they look at themselves as the rule of law. I don't think they don't know the Constitution. I don't think that's the case. I think they know it, but they don't like it, right? They reject it.
But they know that the people are ignorant,
right?
And they take advantage of the ignorance of the people. I notice here that she says, for when a legislative body attempts to dismantle a separate branch of government, they didn't get rid of the judiciary.
Nope.
They got rid of criminals.
Got rid of you.
They got rid of criminals in the judiciary.
Yeah.
And
but that's,
once again,
that's that reinforcement. Mm-hmm. I mean, such arrogance in this philosophy. I am the judicial branch.
Right.
Right? You get rid of me, you've dismantled the judicial branch.
And as we said before, the Wisconsin Constitution, as far as the judiciary is concerned, mirrors the federal Constitution. So what we're seeing here on a local level is exactly what ought to be happening on a federal level.
It reminds me of what I've heard you say several times. If you start calling someone and treating someone like a king, don't be surprised when they start acting like a king. So, I mean, they think they are kings. And so, like you said, you have the same mentality at the federal level, and the same problems at the federal level. But yet the Constitution, that state Constitution, mirrors what is at on the federal level. So therefore, wouldn't the solutions be the same?
They are the same, but I think it's most encouraging to find that what we have is the state governments finally waking up to this error of judicial supremacy.
Right.
It's terrible that it took such a gross misjustice for this to happen, but that's how it happens. If you're going to overturn decades of
brainwashing,
it's going to have to be something very extreme.
As arrogant men tear up our Constitution, and from every direction we cry revolution. Standing together and without permission, soldiers for truth in the war of attrition, the love of our country as our
The Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
Oh, but I'm only a stranger here. I'm a long, long way from my home. And I'm going to change all the things I find.
From bad courts to good courts. This is Chris Ann Hall at the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. I am Chris Ann Hall, and I'm here with my husband and co-host, J.C. Hall, and I have a good court story for us today.
Awesome.
An amazing good court story today. The Iowa Supreme Court. Now, this is from an article at Forbes written by Nick Sabilla, and I think that, which may be Sabilla? Could be Sabilla. Anyway, which is a huge 10th Amendment victory. So the Iowa Supreme Court, now he says ruled, but we know courts don't make rulings, that impounding a car and conducting an inventory search without a warrant violated Iowa Constitution's protection against unreasonable searches and seizure. Although the Iowa Constitution's provision is similarly worded to the Fourth Amendment of the United States, the Iowa Supreme Court decided, look at this, to, quote, stake out higher constitutional ground, end quote, and, quote, reach results different from current United States Supreme Court precedent under parallel provisions. And I just think this is absolutely amazing. This justice writing for the majority, his name is Justice Brent Appel. He says that the article says that he repeatedly chastised the U.S. Supreme Court within his order, seeking, quote, to minimize the scope of individual protection under the Fourth Amendment. So what we have here is a Supreme Court Justice Brent Appel in Iowa saying exactly what we have been teaching for 8 years, that the Supreme Court has gotten the Fourth Amendment wrong for decades. And what the Supreme Court of Iowa says is, look, you can't create excuses to circumvent the Constitution. You have to follow the law. And the law says if you're going to search someone's property, you have to have a warrant. The Fourth Amendment, he says, the Iowa Supreme Court says that the Iowa's Constitution mirrors the Fourth Amendment of the United States. And our Fourth Amendment of the U.S. says the right of the persons to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches shall not be violated. No warrant shall issue but based upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. Period.
Yeah.
There's no exception. When we teach the Fourth Amendment class, we show there's only one exception to your right to be secure in your persons, houses, papers, and effects. By the way, that word effects is the catch-all. That means everything, right? So the only exception to your security in your persons, houses, papers, and effects are there's only one exception. And that one exception has five criteria. You must have a warrant that is based upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized. That word "and" there means all five things have to be present at the same time in order to have a reasonable search and seizure. And what we have here is the Iowa court saying, yes, that's what this means. The Iowa Supreme Court saying, yes, that's what this means. When will the U.S. Supreme Court recognize that the words mean what they say?
They probably won't, but it's great to see states finally acting like states. States doing their duty.
Yes, man.
The West Virginia legislature, the Iowa Supreme Court. I think this is exciting.
Well, this is crazy because what we have now is a state Supreme Court saying, we don't have to follow U.S. Supreme Court precedent. We can protect the rights of our people even when the federal government is attacking them.
Yeah, and I think writer says, you know, this case is a potent reminder for how state constitutions can better protect individual rights when federal courts refuse to do so.
That's amazing, right? Yeah. I mean, that is a huge tagline right there. And I'm seeing this trend. You know, it's like we said in the last section, when people have been brainwashed for so very long, it takes It takes a you're not going to hand somebody a brochure and say, yeah, you're being brainwashed. This is what you need to do. They have to. What is that? We say it's always somebody else's fight until you get punched in the eye. So what we have now are people realizing that the federal government has become the schoolyard bully who just randomly picks people to punch in the eye. And we're sick of it.
Yeah.
Absolutely sick of it. And in that, we have an opportunity to ensure that our people are educated on this, yeah, you know?
And you have an opportunity to self-govern.
Right, exactly. So what how amazing would this be now that we have the Iowa Supreme Court standing up to the federal government to get sovereignty training into the Iowa legislatures, right? Let them see, hey, what your Supreme Court is doing is something you can do too. Not only something you can do, but you ought to be doing. And this is our good court story for the day. I don't know about you, but I'm really pumped about this.
Yeah, it's good to see.
This is really good. Now we need to, you got to wonder, why do you only find this in Forbes? This is big.
Just have to spread the word.
And that's what we want you guys to do after hearing what we've heard through the Chris Ann Hall Show. When we report things that are simply not reported as broadly as they should be, I think that this makes us the committees of correspondence. This makes us the people who are going to stand up and say, we will be the media. We will be the people who say, hey, this is something that we believe in, and this is something that we need to know. We need our people to understand that they have the authority and they have the duty. So, I'm just really excited about that. And I simply can't stress how important it is for us to be discussing this. Now, I want to talk about something that Jeff Sessions said the other day, because it relates directly to us here. Jeff Sessions, according to the Washington Times, last week, Jeff Sessions said, quote, that the Southern Poverty Law Center uses hate designation as a weapon against conservatives.
Man, we need one of those applause sound effects right there. Jeff Sessions actually says something good. Can we call it good?
Yeah, good, right?
It's no longer Where's Waldo?
Uh-huh.
Absentee Attorney General?
Hold on a second. I have to wonder, though, why would Jeff Sessions be talking about the ills of the Southern Poverty Law Center while the FBI is using the Southern Poverty Law Center as an information source and as a training source?
It makes me wonder if some of the stuff that we know is going on, some legal stuff going on behind the scenes, is finally getting through. And this is because, remember, Sessions is a swamp creature, okay?
Right.
He is a politician. So, they sort of prep themselves. He may know what's coming, and so they try to get out ahead of this.
Right.
So now he's lining up with, kind of building the turn against SPLC, which would be a great thing.
Well, he says, I've ordered a review at the Department of Justice to make sure that we do not partner with any group that discriminates.
Well, that's fantastic. That to me is an indication that this stuff is getting through.
Right.
I think this is the pressure that's being brought. I don't know if you've talked about that on the air or if that's a thing that's, public knowledge. But there are things being pursued mm-hmm. about this issue, and I think it's finally having an impact.
Right. We will not partner with groups that unfairly defame Americans for standing up for the Constitution or their faith, he says. And because our friend here from Florida, Matt Gaetz, brought this to the forefront. Now, people, our followers don't know, this is something that we haven't been talking about, But we actually, through a legal team, have issued Freedom of Information Act requests on federal agencies to disclose their ties with the Southern Poverty Law Center. Mm-hmm. Because you all know they have identified me as an anti-government extremist hate group. Why? Because I teach the Constitution from an original perspective that it right. requires limited government and limited government power.
Well, and they have literally said that the stuff you teach can cause people to commit violence. That mm-hmm. it's your so if you know some like the crazy neo-Nazi or whatever runs somebody over, you know, in the crowd, like the one thing that happened, mm-hmm. That's your fault.
Right.
You did that.
Right. Because
you teach the Constitution.
Right. So Matt Gaetz, who is a U.S. representative from Florida, he was on our state house for a long time.
Yeah.
He wrote a letter that was sent to Tucker Carlson tonight and says the FBI has admitted to working with the Southern Poverty Law Center in a development he describes as surprising and worrisome. This is crazy. Matt Gaetz says, this is surprising and worrisome as the Southern Poverty Law Center is known to use its platform in order to denigrate and disparage certain groups by labeling them as hate groups. And that's what they've tried to do us. I mean, they have articles written about us that have caused us to lose venues, mm-hmm. have caused us to lose interviews, have had... caused the
which is their goal.
Yeah,
which is to silence speech they disagree with. And that's the thing. You're talking about groups, like they target groups that are teaching groups, people in groups that basically teach. So the Family Research Council, they you know, lobby and teach things. These educational groups, the Eagle Forum and mm-hmm. and you know, teeth, like I saw Northeast Orlando Tea Party or whatever. It's just crazy stuff. These are groups that teach, but yet you have groups that have literally committed acts of violence, some of these
right.
Antifa groups and different right. ones, and they're not on the list. They won't put these left-leaning groups on the list.
Well, they put us on the list, and I'm glad to see Matt Gaetz is fighting back, and I will keep you guys updated on our FOIA requests.
Chris Ann Hall Show. She's Liberty's lobbyist.
So welcome back to the final segment of the Chris Ann Hall Daily Journal. I do find it encouraging. It seems like we might be finally moving in a right direction. Yeah. Noticing that it always moves slowly. You don't turn an aircraft carrier around on a dime.
Nope.
You don't. And so we're
you don't turn a sailboat around on a dime.
You don't
much
turn
less
a sailboat.
Much less an aircraft carrier.
Right, right. We know
but
that.
But it
sure.
is good. You see these things, and I think the SPLC thing is good. It's finally. It's nice to hear Jeff Sessions show up for work and say something. But I think I think again, it's some of the stuff going on from behind the scenes, and some of the hard work that people are doing every day on this issue, mm-hmm. and then you know people getting Matt Gaetz's attention and him putting a voice to it. And I think this is one of the things that has always been one of my complaints, and how that so many legislators do not use their platform as a bully pulpit, to speak out, to gain attention. I think Rand Paul is one of those guys who does, you know,
right.
he's always sort of taking the microphone and bringing awareness and pushing the thing. So a couple of these guys do this, and so it's
boy,
good
if
to
I
see.
Was if I was in
I mean,
U.S.
I'd have,
government, I'd be there.
Oh yeah, press conference every day.
Every day,
calling stuff out. They probably shoot you, but
daily
but that's what they should be doing, is speaking up. And so I'm glad
yeah.
to see that. But SPLC, I want to say reiterate. They classify people as hate groups, and they talk about the violence, but it's really. That's really not their issue. Their issue is left-leaning ideology. So if you are a left-leaning hate group, they're okay with that.
Right.
If you're a left-leaning group that commits violence, you won't land on their list.
Right.
So it's not about the hate and the violence. It's about the political ideology.
Well, I like the fact that Jeff Sessions says that we will not partner with groups that unfairly defame Americans for standing up for the Constitution or their faith, understanding that we are being attacked for standing up for the Constitution. Now, the Southern Poverty Law Center sent out a letter disputing, you know, what Sessions says, and they said, quote, this is the Southern Poverty Law Center now, in a manner analogous, I hate that word, analogous to how the Department of Justice defines hate crimes, we identify hate groups as those that vilify others because of their race, religion, ethnicity, sexual orientation, gender identity, or disability, prejudices that strike at the heart of our democratic values and fracture society along its most fragile fault lines.
Which is nonsense. What of this do you do?
None of it.
None of it.
No. As a matter of fact, they are the perpetrators of this.
Correct.
They are those that are, they are of the groups that are trying to fracture society. They highlight these divisions. They create these divisions.
Prejudices that strike at the heart of our democratic values. So it's their prejudices because you teach the Constitution and then, so they therefore then will step up and say, you're alt-right. You're a white supremacist. You're a neo-Nazi. You're a hate group. There is not a single thing about race that we do or say.
Nothing.
But yet, you're a white supremacist. You're this, you're that.
No, as a matter of fact, quite to the contrary, we have courses at Liberty First University where we teach the minorities.
The role of the minorities.
The role of the minorities in formation of America, which is something they hate.
Which they don't want.
They don't want our minority communities that they did more than build the White House as slaves.
You celebrate Crispus Attucks.
Right.
You're a racist.
Right.
You celebrate Ned Hecker.
According to YouTube, I am.
You're a racist. I mean, come on.
So these are the things that we seem to see pushing back. And the trend here in America may be emboldened by the man occupying the White House.
Yeah.
By the way,
I'd be a racist descendant of an African slave, by the way. That's who I am.
Yeah, right. Well, I am the mother of a descendant of an African slave and of a boy who is 52% Mayan, which makes
stinking
me...
Stinking racist.
I'm a stinking racist. Oh, my goodness. Let me just punch somebody in the nose. Figuratively, of course. Sarcastically,
not literally.
Put gloves
on, you can do it literally. Yeah. Then it's a sport.
Look, everybody, we are so happy and excited. Do we sound excited? We're excited to be bringing this to you because it's not coming from anywhere else.
Keep pushing back.
Keep pushing back. Share this show. Teach people. Educate. God bless everybody who's doing just that. We will see you tomorrow.
In sharing the blessings I received, let me know. America, America, I gave my best to you.